You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And good day. It's another good day. I'm Rhett Palmer, and Warren Kelly is in the studio today. Warren Kelly, pastor of Okeechobee Praise and Worship Center. And great to have you on here, Warren.
Well, thank you.
How long have you been a pastor?
Thank you for having me. Well, I've been ordained for probably about 3 years, I guess, but I've been ministering for quite a while.
Okay. So what happened to you that you were converted to become? You can put on the other headset if you want.
Okay.
Why don't you try them on? But what happened to you that called you into become? What were you doing before you were a pastor?
I was selling trucks. I've been in the trucking industry for over 30 years. Yes, sir.
30 years?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, that's
one form or fashion. Yeah, I've been in the trucking. I was in towing and transportation, heavy rigs, and I got tired of driving them and dispatching and running companies and started selling them. But the Lord's been good to me. So
just so you know where I am today, I'm at the Green Mountain Inn up here in Stowe, Vermont. And I was searching around for one of these trucks probably that you sell or buy and to bring it up, but I decided to drive up myself. It's a long haul all the way from Vero Beach, Florida. I got here yesterday. I came over from New York State on the ferry boat, and here it was 95 degrees and it was only 80 in Vero Beach.
a little bit for now. It's a little bit flopped around, right? That's awesome.
So you sold trucks for 30 years, and you were selling trucks. Now you're selling Jesus.
The Lord has blessed me to be able to, be a salesman. He gives us all gifts, and now I'm selling Jesus for sure. I rededicated my life to the Lord in 2009, and been living for the Lord every one way or one form or another since then.
Okay, so tell me something. How old were you when you got converted?
Well, no, I accepted. I answered the call at the age of 8. I grew up in a Christian household, sort of. And my dad always. My dad was rough, but he always made us go to church, which we were blessed because they sowed the word into my sister and I. And, backslid, did crazy stuff, grew up down in Fort Lauderdale, and did crazy stuff in my teenage years and in my 20 years, but I always knew the Lord and didn't always live for him, didn't always follow Jesus, but I always knew the Lord. And then 2009.
How did you know you received the calling? Well, when you were a young boy, you said you were 8 years of age.
8 years of age. Yes, sir. I was 8 years of
age.
What
happened?
In a place called Immokalee, Florida, because my dad was a tomato farmer, and that's tomato country down there in Immokalee, Florida. Oh. We were going to a Christian school, and in the Christian school, we went to chapel one day, and, me as a believer and follower of Christ and knowing what I know now, I knew that the blood of Jesus was crying out to me. It was calling me, and he called me at the age of 8. I felt a calling. I don't know what it was. At the age of 8, I'm a kid. I'm worried about riding bicycles and playing football. And, when they did an altar call one day, I had to go. I had to go. And I know now that Jesus was calling out to me. I've had a calling on my life. I ran from it for years. But I could quote scriptures before I could ever read. That's part of my testimony. The Lord had put scriptures on my heart. He writes them on our heart. God bless you. And, I felt that calling one day. And as I went up there, about 8 kids went with me. They followed me up to the...
Oh, you have 8 children?
No. When I was 8 years old, when I answered the call, I had a bunch of kids that followed me up there.
Oh, okay.
To the altar. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, that's good leadership. And my stepdad is no longer on the earth, but he said he had some sort of a conversion experience to the Lord when he was 12. I don't think he was particularly religious or involved in spreading the gospel as an older guy. He was in recovery. He had 40 years of sobriety, over 40 years when he died. But I trust the fact that sometimes it's like God chooses people, it seems, and then it kind of sleeps there until he's ready to pluck you out. Would you say, why do you think you, you said you were running. And I think when I think about a runner, I think about who is that guy that God called to preach and go to Nineveh?
As far as running, the way I look at that, I was not living for the Lord. Okay. So to keep it real, I became a drug addict, alcoholic. I was a knucklehead.
We have that in common. I became an alcoholic.
I was a fighter. I was a rough around the edges kind of guy, ran with some pretty rough characters, but God, the Lord never left me nor forsake me. And, he was always calling out to me. And, I had, like I said, I had rough times in 2009 and I hit my knees. And when I hit my knees, I'm like, God, I'm tired of making a mess out of my life. I need some help. And he was there for me, and he changed me bit by bit, step by step, prayer by prayer. And I was looking out. I had some really good church looking out at the front of a windshield of a Kenworth truck, in the front seat of a truck. And he did some ministry to me, and he molded me and still molds me day by day now. I'm still a work in progress, rededicated my life. And then a couple years later, my mother-in-law and father, which I'm truly blessed with, they're beautiful people. My mother-in-law's going on to be with the Lord now, but, my father-in-law's still with us. They were living with us, and they were going to a church in Fort Pierce, and they were leaving stuff all over the place. And I have I'm blessed with a few children, and my youngest, she came to me. She was probably like 5 at the time, maybe. 4 or 5, and she comes up there, and you know how daddy's girls are. I don't know if you know, but daddy's girls. I have 2 daughters, and they have me wrapped around their little pinkies, she came to me. She says, "Daddy, would you go to church with me?" And I said, "Sure, I'll go to church with you." And I was Saturday night, and I was having my normal Saturday night. Sunday morning rolled around, and I was used to getting up, go riding Harley Davidsons instead of going and serving the Lord or being in the house of the Lord. The next day, I didn't get up. I didn't go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got it right around that pinky. So you're going to get a kick out of this. So that whole week, I felt the conviction, And every time I looked at my little girl, I felt the conviction. And then that next Saturday, my mother-in-law, beautiful woman she is, she sent that little girl in there, and she says, "Daddy, will you go to church with me?" I says, "Yes, baby, I'll go to church with me." And just like you just did, she says, "Pinky promise." So she pinky promised, couldn't break the pinky promise, and I was blessed to go to a church, wonderful, wonderful anointed church by the senior pastor of his name, named Pastor Gerard Curry, Pastor Jerry. And went into the church, and we were at the Orange Blossom at the time, and as soon as I walked across over the threshold, the Lord says, "Welcome home." And I was not answering the call that day either. When they did the altar call, I'm not going. I'm like the little kid. I'm not going. And my feet, just like when I was 8, I couldn't control my feet. And he brought me to the altar and rededicated my life to him. I was living with the Lord, but I wasn't fully 100% committed, I should say. And that day I fully committed.
I actually, this may sound strange to some, maybe not to you, but sometimes I think that God has allowed me to have my sinful ways, because after I got born again at the age of 29, radically born again alone in my living room, I think had I not been imperfect, I would have been one of those hellfire and brimstone guys that thought I was somehow better.
Yes, sir.
And even later in life, I did not drink until I was 50, and then my relationship ended with somebody nearly 20 years, and my mom died all at once, and I had no female in my life, and I got addicted to Glenlivet scotch. and I only had a short, glorious run for a year, year and a half at most. But I tell you something, it brought me into the rooms of a 12-step program. But what's really nice is to be smushed to the point where you know you're no better than anybody else, Amen. But they're no better than you either.
Amen.
And also to keep my side of the street clean, what you do with your life or what you think about me is not my business. And therefore, I will help you no matter who you are.
Amen.
I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Buddhist. I don't care about it. That's not my business. God can convert you. But I'm here. I am a servant to all.
Amen. You know, I believe that the Lord knows each and every one of us, you know, because the word says that he knows the beginning from the end. And he knows, I'm so thankful that the Lord never gave up on me when I was in my mess, you know, and allowed the adversary to snatch the life out of me. And I'd have went up to the end of the pits of hell because he knew that I was going to answer the call one day. I firmly believe that with all my heart because he knows, you know, and to me, the blood of Jesus is so powerful that his blood cried out to me and was calling me. And that's the calling that each and every one of us feel. The time that I said I wasn't going to there, you know, I couldn't control my feet, led me to the altar, you know. And, you know, I lived a very wild life. I was talking with a pastor buddy of mine the other day, and he said, "You want them renegade preachers?" I said, "Well, I'll take that. I'm fine with that because yeah. I consider Jesus was a renegade also."
Moses.
Yeah, so was Moses. And
David.
Yeah, so was look at Saul, you know. Yeah, all killers. But anyways, because I know that, I went down a rough road. And I made a mess out of my life, and the Lord turned my mess into a message. I can talk to the business. He's molded me, and he's still molding me day by day. I can talk to the men on Wall Street, or I can talk to the man in the gutter. I can talk to the men in the prison, which we have a wonderful prison ministry. I have a ministry in Okeechobee City, and I know that the Lord is always molding me to help spread the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to everybody I come in contact with, you know, and that my past has molded me to be sympathetic in people in certain situations, to where I can relate. You know, he says that he will not put, you know, he'll basically load our lips and be able to speak to whoever he puts us in front of, you know, and I firmly believe that. He used my past to mold me to the ministry that he's put me in now.
Well, you know, you think about it, you're relatively young compared to Moses, because Moses wasn't used really fully until he was 80.
Yeah.
That was the beginning.
Yeah,
you know?
Sarah, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we get I think that getting beat up on the path is part of the program. I also know that, I don't know, God's ways are not our ways. And it's just like I run into a lot of boxers. Did you know that Pat Robertson was a boxer?
I heard that one time. Yeah, I did. I heard that one time. And that's wild. That's wild.
It is. And it's amazing how many guys. Now, I'm not a boxer. Mm-hmm. I'm a wimp. Mm-hmm. My brother was the straight-A student. He was the golfer. He was the football player. He was everything that was right. And I was just a C student and driven towards the arts instead. But whatever. But I do remember this. I think you'll get a kick out of this. When I first was born again, I was living in the ghetto of Troy, New York. And I don't know where this came from because I didn't know the scriptures. But Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Mm.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.